On the telephone line, it's your friend Mike Lowe of the Portland Press Herald. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Rich. How are you doing today?
Well, better today than yesterday. We were planning to have you on the show yesterday, and you wisely wanted no part of it. Bob Ryan had the same approach, and we didn't talk a lot of sports yesterday, as it would have seemed a bit inappropriate.
Well, I think my words would have been inappropriate for your program yesterday.
Yeah, I think mine probably were, but, you know, it's not like the owner's going to fire me.
Right. No, probably not.
But here we are, a brand new day today, and you know, hopefully better days ahead, but we take it a day at a time here. But I wanted to talk about a few different things with you. First of all, really wonderful piece you did on former Maine coach Joanne McCauley, who is, of course, as we know, left the Duke program and has now written a brand new book and being very open now in talking about her battle with mental illness and how she wants to be an advocate for people who share that situation.
Yeah, you know, she had contacted me, maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, and said, hey, I got a new book coming out. I want to talk to you about it. And I said, okay. And I was, I can't remember what I was doing, but I was in the middle of something. And I said, yeah, give me a call back sometime when you're ready. And so she called me up, and we talked for a while, and I had received an email from her publicist. And that was the first that I knew what the subject of the book was about. And I said to her, I said, you have just, floored me. I said, I would have never guessed this, that she was suffering from bipolar disorder. And she says, well, you know, it was something that I really couldn't let people know, you know. She really said she feared for her jobs. If people knew what she was diagnosed with, she felt that she could be fired. And and really coaching basketball has really helped her get through it, just being part of the team, having and not everybody knew. Some of the UMaine players, a couple of them knew, but most of them just they were there to support their coach. And she said that probably wouldn't happen today, not with the way social media is and the way parents are. She feels very fortunate the way everything unfolded at UMaine.
Well, the good news is you're part of a team and almost a second family when you're a coach. But boy, the bad news is I would think in that situation is it can be a pretty high pressure and time consuming job.
And that's probably what triggered it all was the fact that, she was in her fourth year. She was 30 years old, still a very young coach, trying to make her mark, trying to get UMaine, to compete at a national level. And she was, she had a one-year-old child, so she had that, the stress of being a new mom. I mean, all that combined to just, shake her, and cause the first manic attack. And I recreated it in the story when she was on the phone with a recruit who would eventually come to UMaine, Jamie Cassidy, and. She said to Jamie in the middle of the phone call that she was talking to her, she said, oh, Jamie, the people on the television are talking to us.
Yeah.
And Jamie didn't know what to say, and I spoke to her, late in the week before the story ran. And she told me that she got off the phone and said something to her mother. And her mother was like, you sure you want to play for her?
Yeah. And was it Jamie's sister who came up to investigate the situation?
It was Joanne's sister.
Oh, Joanne's sister. Okay.
Joanne's sister. Yeah. Carolyn Clement came up to investigate the situation. And she had, Joanne had called her and said, hey, this is, I spoke to Carolyn because she, Carolyn had, Clement has had three daughters who have been great basketball stars in the state of Maine at the high school level. Allie, who played in college, and Sarah, who was injured and was on UNH's offer, roster, and Camille, who's now a senior at Greeley High and is going to play at the Northeastern. They know the stress of basketball, and Carolyn said, I get off the phone with Joanne. This is at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, and told her husband, Brian, I need to go right now. something seriously wrong with Joanne. She made no sense. She was talking about how the TV was talking to her, and you know, and made, you know, so and that's, you know, and the rest, you know, they got her to a doctor, and she was diagnosed with bipolar. And you know, it's one of the things. And when she was searching, when she decided to write the book this past year, she had people tell her, don't do it, because you'll forever be known as Coach P, the bipolar coach. Hmm. And she says, I didn't care. This is a story that needed to come out, that you can be diagnosed with this disorder and still live, you know, a successful life, still be successful in your profession. And that's a very important message that has to get out to people, that if you follow your medications and you follow your doctor's advice, you can, you know, have some control over this disease. Now, she said she only had one other episode, you know, in her life, and it was at UMaine 2 years later, and unfortunately, it came during a game, and it was not manic, it was depression. And, you know, Jamie Cassidy actually said, I remember that game. She said, we got beat badly by Boston University, and this was a game we should have won easily. And she said, Coach P was not there. She was just, you know, not at the game. You know, she was there physically, but not mentally. And Joanne said it was because she had stopped taking her medication. She had said that she had felt that she was in a good place and didn't need to. And her doctor simply told her, all right, well, this is what you can do. You can continue like this and not take your medications, and everything you do from here on will have repercussions in not only your professional career, but your life. You know, it will affect your entire life. Or you can take the medication and, you know, lead a normal life, or as close to normal as you can. And she said, yeah, and she's still on the medication now. And she says she's, you know, she really feels as great as she ever has.
Well, good on her. And I'm looking forward to reading the book. I think she's going to be on with us down the road a little bit. But a terrific piece by you. Check it out online, PortlandPressHerald.com. Mike Lowe with us here on Downtown. Hard to believe we're only about 8 weeks away from what's scheduled to be the first Maine football game of the spring season. At this point, what do you think? What are the odds we'll be playing a game on March 6th?
You know, I think they can probably play. They're just not going to be playing in Orono. There will not be any home games for the UMaine football team, I don't believe, unless they get a waiver from the state to have more than 100 people in the stadium. And I don't see that happening. I don't know. Maybe the fact that it's outdoors, the state will reconsider, but they haven't thus far. You know, you look at the NFL somehow got through a season. You know, when nobody thought they would. Obviously, there were a lot of blips, a lot of bumps in the road. Teams playing without their best players, or some of their best players. Now, you got the Cleveland Browns going to go into their first playoff game in, what, 18 years, and they're not going to have the head coach probably.
Right.
So, but somehow they got through it. They went through it, and I think that you can play. If anything, they showed you can play football and not be in a bubble, because these teams weren't in bubbles. They were in their own, you know, individual bubbles, I guess you could say. I'm sure the players were told what to do and what not to do, but I think we will see some sort of college football in this, and, you know, in 8 weeks. I just I'm not sure we're going to see it here in Orono.
No. It sounds like Nick Charlton and his staff had a pretty good early recruiting class from the early signees, and they've got some more offers out there to people. A pretty talented group coming in for this team. Now, they've had some losses due to both graduation and with the new transfer rule, so much easier for people to go. But I think the expectations can be reasonably high for this team whenever they play.
I agree. And, you know, they're it's a team that you know they're going to be exciting, because you know on offense, you know they're going to throw the ball a lot. They're going to look for chunk plays all the time. And on defense, you know they're going to attack all the time. So and here's the thing: these kids that are coming in, like you've got the entire freshman class that didn't play in the fall.
Right.
So technically, they're still freshmen, but they've actually had essentially a season worth of working out and stuff, getting accustomed to you know, college football. So I think they'll be ready to step in, and that'd be impressive to see if Randy Moss's kid can step on the field. Mm. But I think this is a team that's going to be fun to watch for many years, as long as they can keep that core together. And like you said, you know, the new transfer rule this year, really, you know, the big loss was the alignment, obviously. I mean, he's just an amazing player, and he's tough to replace.
What about high school sports this winter season, Mike? I know some counties that's just simply not a possibility, but same question there. Do you think there will be any semblance of a winter season for these high school athletes?
Well, I mean, listen, we're in the green counties, you know, and yeah, you know, let's face it, your county's on the edge of going yellow. Aroostook County, I was on a Zoom call with the MPA today, and apparently Aroostook County, there's a lot of fear up there that they're going yellow. And they'll shut down sports. I guess there are five schools in Aroostook County that individually have shut down their sports programs because of outbreaks at the school. I mean, this is the whole thing. Everything is going to be determined by the virus, you know, by COVID-19. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play sports in Southern Maine, especially in Cumberland and New York County. I really think it's going to be hard with the numbers, the way they're going, that they're going to get any games in. I know there is hope among the coaches that the state will relax the rules regarding the yellow counties and allow them to at least practice, you know, and maybe only once or twice a week, just to get together as a team and practice. Have skills and drills, they're talking. They're not talking full-on practices. They just want to be able to have the kids in a gym and see each other rather than everything on virtual. I don't know if that will happen. I kind of doubt it will, but, you know, they hope that, you know, they've been told that schools are the safest place to be, right?
I mean,
that's what you hear, right, Rich?
That's what they tell us, yeah. Is that Buck in the background?
That is Buck in the background. He's found one of his squeaky Christmas toys.
Oh, nice.
he usually keeps me company here. I'm up in my home office desk area, and I'm up in the corner of what was once my boy Alex's room. And Buck likes to just come and hang with me and chew on his toys all day. It's often fun when I'm on a phone call and he decides to, you know, come in with his toys.
Well, I'm glad we got to hear from him because Buck is a good-looking boy.
He's a good-looking boy. He got a little frisky here the other day and decided for some reason that he needed to chew on a piece of furniture.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight. You know, hopefully we can fix it. But, you know.
Little Frank's Red Hot on there, and that'll drive it away.
Yeah, yes, that would. But I mean, you know, if you know, and this is what the coach is saying, if we're being told it's safe to be in school, then why can't we practice? If that's the safest place for the kids to be, so we'll see what happens. I don't know. I think, you know, the games start next Monday. Rich and yeah. In the green count, and you know, there are schools that are planning to go ahead. They've got this schedule set up, a 12 game schedule for basketball, and you know, we will see what happens. I just again down here, and we were talking how, you know, there's possibly an official shortage, you know,
right,
if it comes sports. They're down about 30% across the board of high school officials for all sports, and that could be, you know, if all counties were playing, that would be an issue. Right now,
right.
Probably the four most populous counties in the state aren't playing, right? I mean,
right.
Games. So, you know, for now, I think they'll be okay, but we'll see what happens. I hope something. I you know, I told them I'm not really worrying about it right now because I got nothing to cover.
Well, there you go. Enjoy your time with Buck and just kick back.
Yeah, well, I'm finding other things to write about. You can read something tomorrow about recreation departments across the state, how they're handling this, because they're like high schools. They're you know, they've got to follow the state guidelines as well, and for them, that means there's no youth basketball programs going on right now. No youth cheering programs going on now. No youth wrestling programs going on right now. But what they're doing is they're trying to get outdoor activities, and it may be okay in you know, your area, that, but down here in New York County, there's no snow on the ground. So, you know, it's hindering that. So they're trying, and esports has become a big thing. There's 11 programs in this, 11 rec departments in the state that are participating in an esports league. So I told them I want to play. They're playing Super Smash Bros., which is my favorite game of all time.
There you go. There you go. We got our boy's birthday today, and we got him a little like a little game system. So I've got to learn those skills. I didn't have them when I was young. I'm going to have to see if my slow reflexes can adjust. I'm better off with a squeaky toy like Buck.
Yeah. Well, he's got his favorite one now. This is the Lamb Chop.
Oh, nice.
He loves Lamb Chop. But what game system did you get him?
He's got a little Nintendo Switch that we got him.
That's what I have.
There you go. So can an old dog learn it?
Oh yeah. It's really you got to get Super Smash Bros. Seriously, you got to test.
Okay.
I have so much fun playing that game.
All right, we got. I think Mario Kart came with it. So.
Oh yeah, it comes with it. That's a blast. That's a lot of. My thumbs hurt after that one.
It makes me dizzy, but I'm going to try anyway.
It does. Yeah, it can.
Yeah. Mike, it's good to talk with you as always. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and to give our best to Buck too. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Well, anytime, Rich, you know that.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye now. Mike Lowe, the Press Herald on Downtown, with a guest appearance by Buck.